Welcome to the July 2020 Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering. Thank you so much for connecting in today. I have a number of discoveries I want to convey, but I want to kick this off for me with a very, very sad announcement. My daughter, Adrian, who many of you have heard me talk about in the past, who has taken great advantage of the many options available for healing, died on July 4th. And it was a shock, I have to say. So I've really spent this month in being able to address the issues associated with her death. She was doing beautifully, and I want to repeat, beautifully over the last year. The last thing I ever expected was that that would happen. She was taking advantage of the therapies that we identified were going to help her. The traditional medical kind of options never helped her, but we did find a number of options that made a huge, huge difference. She was having a vibrant, active life with her friends. I was in San Francisco this month for quite a while and listening to the stories of her friends, indicating that she really had recovered her full life force. So we have no indication of why she died. There was a full medical examination. They could not determine what happened. As I said, she was really in excellent shape in a health-wise sense. So we don't have any explanation and may never have an explanation. I do want to just say to each and every one of you that I think she inspires me, and I hope everyone that she ever connected with, to get out there and live your life. Adrian traveled throughout the world. She visited many, many countries. She had many friends. She was always traveling. She had a very active entrepreneurial business and was very successful in everything that she did. So the sad news is that her life has ended, and I just wanted everybody to know, because I know that a number of you had heard me talk about her quite extensively and about some of the therapies that we were using. And again, I want to repeat that everything that we were doing in terms of therapies made a huge, huge difference to her ability to recover. So if you're thinking of, well, do these other optional therapies make a difference? Can it really help me? What I can say based on what I learned about Adrian's life over this last year while I was in San Francisco, the answer is unequivocally yes. You can really recover your full life force. So next, I want to make a couple of comments about the virus. I have a question to answer that was submitted several weeks ago about freezing that I want to discuss. And please, if you have anything to add in the chat room, type it in, and we'll be sure to address and discuss that as well. It helps me to be able to get back to work, quite frankly. And please let me know what kind of information you're searching for. I've been discovering options for healing neurological conditions now for almost 20 years, so I am really the expert in terms of knowing what the options are. So let me move to a brief discussion of the issues with the COVID virus. The first comment I want to make is the following. In my travels to San Francisco, I had a discussion with one of Adrian's longtime friends who is an engineer and who actually developed the technology used in the respirator equipment, the respirator machines that are used in hospitals. And of course, the COVID affects the breathing, and so many people are being put on respirators. So I just wanted to pass out to everyone some of the chilling information he told me about why so many people with this condition were dying who had been put onto respirators. And I asked him, well, why is that happening? And his answers were twofold. The first answer was that the issue of doing respiration through a machine is really very complicated. there's pressure, there's flow, there's timing. It has to be connected to the heart rate. And what he thought and was sure was happening in many hospitals was that people were connecting people up who had the virus into respirators but really had no training on using them. So they kind of pushed a button, walked away, and that's what created some of the awful complications and deaths. The second reason he explained why, if you're going to be put onto a respirator, you might be at additional risk, and that's the following. Apparently, the only way to cleanse the virus from these respirators is through steam. And so he said he called a hospital just to check and to see, were they using steam? And in the conversation he reported to me, he basically said that the person who he talked with was the nurse in charge. And she said, oh, we don't have to worry about steam. We've got good chemicals that we use to make sure to cleanse the virus. Well, my source, and again, he's an engineer, he basically said that's not going to do it. You really have to use steam. So he felt like the virus probably was contained in these this equipment, and that might also lead to some additional complications. Now, in the end, obviously, if you happen to have a family member or yourself happens to be infected with the virus, please make your own best decisions about the best way to go. I think I would just say, personally, learning more about what's happened, I don't think I'd ever want to be put onto a respirator, given what his information was reporting. He said that's probably not going to be any public information for several years, or certainly after the whole cycle of the problem of the COVID is able to finally resolve. I have a second announcement that's actually very exciting. And it also has to do with the COVID virus. Now, there is exclusive discussion, of course, in all of the news media of getting some kind of an inoculation that can be used to make sure to protect people from the virus. And I'm sure you've probably heard or read that it takes really 4 or 5 years to develop a vaccine that would really be reliable and would not cause significant side effects or even death. And of course, they're trying to rush that up. Well, that's one option. That's one possibility that would really yield some possibly positive benefits. There's another option that's also available. I just wanted you to know about it in case you happen to get infected or a family member or a friend. So right now, there's no option. There's nothing really that you can do that's been made public at all. Well, as it turns out, there is a therapy that I identified back in 2012. It's called biophoton technology. And the interview was with a man from the Netherlands. His name was Johan Boswinkel. Quite a fascinating interview. And Johan wound up training a number of people in the United States to actually provide this optional therapy. And here's the bottom line. What the therapy does is it tracks chaotic light that is associated with disease. So, for example, if a person has a certain form of cancer, then there will be emitted from this person's body a chaotic light transmission. So it's jagged. It's really chaotic, I think, is the best way to describe it. And so what this particular option does is it takes the chaotic light that is being conveyed in a person's body, and it inverts the chaotic light, and then it evens it out so that you've got an even light that's then being transmitted into the body. Well, that's really a complicated way of saying they're inverting the disease state. The light that is emitted by the disease state, it's an inversion of it. How is that done? Well, what happens is somebody out there, a researcher, takes the actual virus and they pick up the light emission, the chaotic light emission of the virus, and then the technology that Johan Boswinkel invented inverts that, and then you can get a treatment that lasts about 10 minutes. that signals then the light that's necessary to be able to signal to the body what it needs to do in order to be able to address the problem of the virus. It's really quite a fascinating technology. I do know it's been successful for a number of different individuals. It's really hard to find, quite frankly. There are not that many Bionology outlets, but there are people who have the machine. It's called a Charen. And the bottom line is this. Apparently, some German researchers have been able to develop the antidote. That's kind of the word that they use for this. And a lot of the people who have these Charens are now getting the antidote, which means that if you have the virus or if you know of somebody who has the virus, then you can go to one of these places and get the treatment. And apparently, initial success rates have been really outstanding. So that's one option. Can I say, well, this will guarantee that you're not going to have any big problems with it? Well, obviously not. There's no systematic research on this whatsoever. But since there are no other options available, and I know this one has just come up this last week, I wanted everybody to know about it. So there's also, if a person who has a Charen does not have the special COVID inversion, there's also a swine flu program that also apparently works pretty well. Now, the other problem, of course, is that apparently there are four or five different variants of the COVID-19. And so it may be that you or your loved one or your family member or your friend has the COVID, but it's a little bit different from what's being programmed here into these equipments. But still, I just want to say, if you know of anybody, and of course the deal right now is, well, there's not really any therapy that seems to work. I think this is something that at least you could explore a little bit further. The company that is taking the leadership and being able to provide this inversion antidote to people who have Charens, they're in California, and they are called Biophoton Services, and that's actually the website address, Biophoton, and then the word services, Services, and their phone number is 510-217-8677. Again, that's 510-217-8677. They would likely know of the people who have this technology and whether or not they would have the program that is the antidote to the virus. And again, I don't think I would recommend that you explore this if you don't have the virus. I don't think that makes much sense. But if somebody has tested positive, and especially if they seem to be really struggling with being able to heal that, I think this would be a therapy that would be worth exploring. So that's my two kind of comments. One of them is a bit of an alarm about the issue associated with respirators. And obviously, that may not be widespread, but clearly it is a problem with some hospitals and some respirator equipments. The researcher, the engineer who told me about this said that he thought it was a bit of an alarming report that they were trying to get one of the automobile manufacturers to manufacture these respirators in mass, which means they would probably just have one button to push. And he thought that would not be a smart idea because it's much more complicated than just pushing a button. So finally, I have a question that was submitted that I want to address at some length. And the question concerns, well, what is the cause of freezing? Why is it that people freeze? What's the underlying issue that is associated with what happens to people who have the difficulty of freezing? So in the end, my conclusion, based on my 20 years of looking into this as an issue, is that it really all is connected to issues of trauma. Now, when I use the word trauma, I want to be really clear about the broad-based context of trauma. Trauma can be physical, which means You might have stayed in a hospital for a month. You might have been in an automobile accident. In other words, it could be physical. Trauma can also be emotional. Obviously, you can have emotional trauma. And, of course, that is associated with lots of different horrendous kinds of experiences of parents who abused children in one way or another. And trauma can also be mental trauma. So we can have, for example, a person who was a supervisor at a place of employment who was mentally abusive to us. We can have family members who are abusive. We can have children, parents, grandparents who are mentally abusive and manipulative. So trauma takes many different forms. And if you're thinking, oh, heavens, trauma's not been an issue in my life, I want to say, wait, just step back a minute and realize that everybody in a body these days has trauma. I mean, quite frankly, just looking at the news these days is traumatic to me. Now, you can also have trauma at a very early age in life, even when you are forming in the embryo of your mother. You can be hearing noises that are frightening, even when you're in the womb. You can be hearing arguments. You can be hearing all sorts of scary kinds of stimuli. It's also traumatic. And even the birth itself, the process of birthing, can be extremely traumatic. A cesarean birth, as it turns out, is the most traumatic birth of all forms of birth. So at those early ages, we don't have any memory of exactly what happened. But rest assured that if you know anything about the early stages of your life from age zero all the way up to two or three or four, chances are that you will probably be able to recall and identify with some forms of trauma. So, okay, freezing is associated with trauma. And so what's really happening here? Well, if you'll think about what happens when we're traumatized, we have a couple of choices, but one of those choices is we freeze. And second of all, what we're going to do is we're not going to directly look at the source of where the trauma originates. So our looking gets to be very restricted. We're going to typically look down. So in my case, my father tended to, when he got a bit upset with me, and I have to confess there's probably some good reasons why he would get upset, he would slap me on the shoulder. So that's kind of a physical trauma, and with great anger. Well, did I look at him in the face when he did that? Well, of course not. I looked down at the floor, and I froze. I got very still as a child, and I froze. Well, that's what we do when we're traumatized. We freeze, and we tend to narrow where we are looking. So what happens is when we're moving through a walking sequence, let's say that we come to a doorway, and that tends to be what freezes us up. For some reason, we can't quite move through the doorway. Well, I'd like to suggest that you may not ever be able to figure out the origins of why that's a trigger for freezing, but there will be an answer somewhere. For example, I did have a friend at one time who explained that they were scared of leaving their room. She lived with her sister in her room, because when she would pass by her father's bedroom, he would grab her and abuse her. So they didn't want to walk out the threshold of the doorway. So in a way, just looking at a threshold like a doorway could be associated with some kind of a stimulus way, way back, far, far away, and a place that you may not ever have any memory of whatsoever. So these are basically just triggers of what might have been a past trauma. Now, how can you heal the issue of freezing? And I've got a suggestion for you to consider that you might find to be a bit unusual. The suggestion is this. Obviously, you want to unfreeze the locked situation and get on to your life. You want to keep moving. That's what you've been doing for your whole life until probably recently. Instead, I'd like to suggest that when all of a sudden you lock up and freeze up, stay there. don't try to suddenly jump out of it. Literally stay in that position. And if you can just stay there and allow whatever feelings are going to emerge to surface, I think what you'll discover is that's a way of unlocking that place that's triggering the freezing. So it's a way of connecting in with the original source and releasing the lock that that has of a memory trap. So staying there, and it may be that when you freeze up, you may have to be in that frozen position for, quite frankly, quite a while. We're not talking about just a minute. It could be 5 minutes or longer. But I want to suggest give that a try. Allow yourself to just experience that place of freezing. What are you really doing? Well, you're going back into times in the past when there was trauma, and you're allowing yourself to connect in with those places and release the emotions that were trapped at the time. So when you freeze, you wind up locking those awful emotions in the cellular structure of your body. In other words, they get trapped. So when you allow yourself to simply stay in that frozen place and experience what it is to be there, you are connecting with those feelings that you've been wanting to avoid your entire life. And once you connect with that, you'll find that all of a sudden it releases, and you should be able then to have fewer freezing types of episodes. Now, the next suggestion that I want to give, and the one that's pretty well documented in research studies, is the following. If you decide you don't have time to stay in that frozen place to be able to release the trapped emotions associated with the trauma, then instead, and you've got to move on. I mean, you've got an appointment to make. You've got friends to meet. You obviously cannot do that in all situations. You freeze up in whatever situation. Well, the way to unfreeze that is to change where you look. You definitely do not want to look down or in a place that's close to where you are physically. You want to gaze outward at a longer, farther away distance. And once you lock on to that point that is at a farther away distance, I think what you'll find is you can then walk toward that destination. So just to give an example, let's say you are about to cross a road and the light is red. It then turns green and you get ready to walk across the walkway because it's ready and available to walk. You freeze up. All right, what a lot of people do is they look down. They look down at the road, they look down at their feet, or they narrow their vision. Instead, you want to look up, and for example, there'll probably be some kind of a street walk sign that says walk now, or they'll be counting down the seconds that you have to get over to the other side. Make that your destination and just look there. And I think what you'll discover is if you can target a destination that's far away in the distance and then just focus on that as you walk, you'll be able to unfreeze the locked position. And so if I could just summarize, why is that the case? Well, remember, when you have trauma, you tend to narrow your vision. You freeze up. You don't want to see it coming because it's too absolutely frightening for you to see that. So in order to be able to unlock that frozen state, what you want to do is to change where you are looking physically. What are you looking at? And immediately shift to a very fixed position in the distance. And again, I think that's what you will discover will unlock that. Now, finally, how do we really release the trapped trauma? And what I would always recommend to each and every one of you is to consider exploring some of these wonderful body therapies. The therapy that I think can result in wonderful benefits for people who have a lot of trauma embedded at the cellular level is a set of people who have been well-trained to facilitate the release of trauma. They've attended a healing school for 4 years. They've invested a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort in their own healing. And I think that's the best chance you can have of being able to get releases of the trauma that you have also experienced in your life. The people who are available to provide those services are listed on the following website, and that's barbarabrennan.com. You'll see there's a list of practitioners, and by state, the school has been in existence for 40, 45 years, and so they have graduates in really all cities throughout the entire world. So again, that website address is Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, Brennan, B-R-E-N-N-A-N.com. Now, that website is mostly trying to attract people to become students in their school for 4 years. Well, that's not why I'm suggesting that you visit that. Just go to the section that says find a practitioner, and that would be a person that has graduated from their entire four-year school and would be somebody that you could call, have a conversation with, and see if you feel like they might be able to help you find some release from the traumas that you have experienced. And there can be many and many different varieties over a period of a long period of time, some of them very recent, some of them in the distant past. But I think it helps to be able to get that kind of therapy, to be able to, again, in the end, unlock these freezing episodes. So in summary, the question is, well, what causes this? Well, my spin on this is, no, it's not a chemical imbalance. It's not a physical kind of an issue. It really is rooted in the emotional entrapments that occur in our physical bodies associated with all different forms of trauma. So if you begin to recognize that's the issue, and if you begin to recognize, okay, what really needs to happen is I need to release the trapped trauma at the cellular level, then you can get on your way to being able to, I think, heal that really problematic challenge. And then in the actual question that was submitted, I know that the reference was made to, boy, these freezing episodes are just more and more frequent. So that would mean, number one, that trauma is really in your face right now, and so it needs to be dealt with immediately. Or it may mean that for whatever reason, what you are experiencing is triggering past traumas one way or another. And then finally, by way of conclusion, I don't think it's really that important to be able to say, okay, what is the trauma that I need to release? Quite frankly, I don't think that's important, and you don't want to re-traumatize yourself. I think all that's really necessary is to say, we all occupy a physical body. We all have trauma in our life. Nobody escapes that. Some of us have a great deal more trauma than others, but we all are going to be responding differently. And so once you recognize, okay, I've been traumatized in my life in one way or another, so what I need to do is just to accept the fact that it's now time for me to be able to acknowledge that and release the trauma that has been trapped at the cellular level. Now, if I finally have not convinced you that you are have been subjected to trauma, let me just say this. If you are connecting in, either you or a family member has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, wasn't it traumatic just to visit a medical professional and to be told that? That's a traumatic experience in itself. So trauma is in our face, perhaps even more so currently. I mean, even on my immediate city of Olympia, Washington, we're having riots at night. I mean, give me a break. This is a small little town. What in the world is happening in the world? So it's hard to avoid and get away from the problems of trauma these days, but we can set the intention to release it so that we are no longer carrying the burden on our shoulders of traumas from current or our past existence. So that's in response to the question that was submitted several weeks ago, actually, of a person who wanted me to address the issues associated with her freezing episodes. And now what I'd like to do is to say we have a number of you who have called in to say hello or connect or ask questions. So what I'd like to do is to say, if you'd like for me to connect in with you, and if you have topics you'd like for me to discuss or questions to address, then just say *2 on your phone. That'll raise your hand right now, and I will connect you in, and we'll be able to have a conversation. We have quite a few, so I don't want to go from one person to the next, and all you're really here to do is to listen. So on your phone, would be *2, and that lets me know here on the control panel that you'd like to be able to connect in and have some discussion about what I might have already talked about here in our support group gatherings this month or any other topic whatsoever. *2 is the number that you want to be able to connect in to have a discussion right now during our support group gathering. And I'm going to check in with our chat room field. And again, you can type in anything in that field right now, and we'll be sure to read that for everybody else and respond accordingly to whatever questions you have. Doesn't matter what the question is. We're here to support each other, provide guidance and information and suggestions of what you might be guessing is going to really help you a great deal in being able to get relief from your symptoms. So we have a couple of hands that are raised, and let me just connect in with the first hand and say, hello, Bill, are you there?
Hey, Robert.
Hello.
I'm so sorry about your daughter. That's awful.
It is awful, Bill. It really is awful. And
what a blow for you.
It was totally and completely unexpected. She's been doing so beautifully this last year, so beautifully. She really had reclaimed her life for us. So I guess the message to all of us is we need to live our life to the fullest and fulfill our dreams day in and day out and not delay and not wait.
Yeah. Well, it's just must be a terrible thing for you to deal with.
It was awful, Bill, I have to say. It was absolutely awful.
Well, I just wanted to say that. I don't think I want to burden you with my stuff right now. It doesn't seem right, but I hope something good comes out of whatever went on with your daughter. So best wishes to you.
Thank you, Bill. I greatly appreciate your kind and warm words. It means everything. And we have a second person who's raised their hand, and it is Bona. Bona, hello.
Hello. I'm sorry I missed the first part of your call. I'm sorry. I didn't know what happened to your daughter.
Oh, Bona, she died July 4th. Unexpectedly, we have no explanation for the cause. They've done a thorough examination. So it's been awful for me to deal with this month. It really has.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for you.
Thank you, Vona.
It's okay. I'll cry for you. Is that okay?
Thank you. I wish you would. I've been crying all month long. So it's so sad. She was doing so beautifully for so long and using a lot of these other therapies that we've discovered in our interviews. So
yeah.
The last thing I ever expected was that this would happen.
Yeah. When I got on the call after you had discussed that first item about the virus. I guess I missed it.
Right.
But this freezing, your definition of freezing is what? Just not being able to move?
Yes, and I don't think from what your question entails, you probably have experienced this, but what can happen is a person is walking effortlessly and then all of a sudden they get stuck and they cannot move, they cannot step, you know, again. They literally freeze up in their mobility. It can be a very, very challenging and troubling challenge. Or if they're trying to turn a corner, they suddenly can't actually get the corner turned.
Yeah.
So freezing is associated with some people who have a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease.
Well, I'm down to, I was taking 3 pills a day, and it makes my mouth so dry. It makes me so dry. So I asked the doctor's offices if I could work it down to 2, and they said yes. So I don't know whether I'm worse off taking it or not taking it. I can't tell the difference.
Have you taken it down to 2?
Yeah.
Oh, and you didn't have any side effects?
Well, what are the side effects? when I didn't take one, I was taking carbidopa, levodopa. I was taking it way back when I stopped taking it, my husband had to help dress me. But that was during the winter time too, so he had to help me put in warmer clothes.
Well, generally, it sounds like you've reduced it down. If you reduce it too quickly, you can have potentially some very serious side effects of that. And so you've reduced it too quickly. But it sounds like you've been fine. You've been able to cut it down. You didn't have those kind of reactions. So it sounds like that was fine. That worked out well.
There's times when I want to cry and sometimes when I don't want to cry. Sometimes I want to cry for no reason. Sometimes I agree to disagree with somebody.
Right.
So when did you interview this person about the machine?
Well, it was actually at Adrian's memorial service, just by a fluke. He had been a good friend of Adrian's. And when he explained that he was the engineer who participated in developing those respirators, I was interested in exploring why is it that so many people on them have died. And he gave me the explanation.
What did he say?
Well, he said two things. Number one, you have to be trained in order to be able to use the machine for a patient. It's a question of flow, pressure, heartbeat, respiration, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so it's very complicated, and people have to be trained. I don't mean just a couple of hour course, but you have to have an extensive training to make sure that you don't kill the patient, quite frankly. And he said that's not happening in a lot of hospitals because of the emergency, and they've had to have so many people on these. But the second reason is that he said that the COVID infection can only be eliminated or eradicated by steam. It's not addressed by chemicals. So you have to use steam after each patient uses it. You have to steam the whole equipment to be able to get rid of all the infections, especially the COVID. And that's not what the hospitals are doing. They're using chemicals. And I guess he actually had a discussion with one director of nursing at a very large hospital in San Francisco. And she said, oh, we're good. We use chemicals. You know, it's all approved and we don't have any problem. But what he said was that will not do the trick. You've got to put steam. So that's my source. Obviously, he's not a medical doctor. He's an engineer. But I thought if anybody knows a lot about respirators, it's him because he designed them. And my feeling was, well, I don't think I ever want to be put onto a respirator myself because of his explanation.
Yeah. Well, I would check for a sleep study, and I had mild obstructive sleep apnea. And they suggested that I possibly go on a CPAP machine. But I elected to take the retainer in the mouth. So I've been doing a retainer for the last couple of years. But then, for some reason, I wake up in the morning and my right eye won't open, either because it's too dry or something. It opens after a while, but it scares me. I don't know whether it's because of this retainer I'm putting in my mouth or not, but it stretches my mouth out. So I'm in a quandary what to do about that. I'm going to have the eye doctor check me for dry eye syndrome, I guess.
Right. Well, so do you put a lubricant into your eye in the evening before you go to bed?
I don't put anything in my eye.
You might put a lubricant. It may be that you just don't have enough lubrication there in your eye. You might want to try that. And the other thought that I have for you.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, the other thought that I have for you, Vana, is, and you're exploring some options that will address that problem, you might, I know you have a Beamer because you told me that a number of, months ago. The Beamer has a sleep program. Why don't you bring it down into your bedroom and activate the sleep program and see if that really facilitates the apnea problem and the problem with the closed eyes. That would certainly be worth trying.
I know that it will because I don't know whether I can do that or not because of my sleeping situation with my husband and everything. I don't know.
Well, just something to think about and consider as a possibility.
Yeah. So this person that you interviewed on the TV, the biophoton services person?
Uh-huh.
When did you interview that person on the radio?
2012. And on the member pages, if you go into the page that is the radio show page, there'll be a category, an actual category that will be biophoton technology. That'll be the biophoton, B-I-O-P-H-O-T-O-N. There's another word that you can also sometimes use to get connect into that, and that's biontology, B-I-O-N-T-O-L-O-G-Y, biontology. Both of those. You'll see the categories on the member radio show page. Just click that, and that should get you right to that interview with the Johann Boswinkel in 2012. And if you have problems with that, just send me an email, and I'll send you the actual link, okay?
Could you go ahead and send me an actual link to that?
Well, of course.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
This freezing thing, I don't know whether I've been traumatized or not, but when I was a young child, I may have been. I don't know. I don't need to discuss some of that, but
just remember trauma comes in many different forms. And so if we think back and we're feeling like, well, we're not really that victim of trauma, there are many situations we confront in life that are traumatizing.
And
we respond differently. So for a child, it may be that what the parent did was pretty minor, like maybe just a stern look, but for the child, it was traumatizing. It just, you know, it just was horrible. We all react differently to trauma. So I think the best thing any of us can do is to recognize we all have trauma in our life. And just to be, as I said earlier, to be diagnosed with Parkinson's, that's traumatic in itself. I've heard some horrendous stories from people gone to doctors, and they really were truly traumatized. So trauma is here to stay, and I think the intention is to say, okay, I may not be able to know or acknowledge all the sources of trauma, but I know I've had it in my life, so let's just set the intention to release it so that I'm no longer carrying that trauma at the cellular level in my body.
Yeah. So could you give me a call once we get off this call?
Bonna, I've got several other calls to make after this, so why don't you give me a call? That'll remind me to call you back, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, sounds great. Bonna, thank you so much for being here. Just means everything to have you and others here who regularly connect in, and we're able to have these wonderful conversations. So I'm checking into the chat room right now, and I don't see anyone who's written any follow-ups with questions or issues or topics that you want to discuss. And I've got, here's in the Q&A from Randy. Any effective treatment for dystonia and resulting muscle pain? So, Randy, could you describe the dystonia issues here in the Q&A field a little bit more explicitly? And when you say muscle pain, could you talk about where the pain is located? That's really important to know in order to be able to figure out the approaches that will really make a difference. By your question, you're saying, is there any answer to these? And I just want to say there's really all sorts of wonderful natural options that can address all sorts of healing conditions. So there are some options out there available to you. That are other than just the prescription medicines that suppress the symptoms or surgeries. So In terms of muscle pain, I think the key there is to understand better exactly where is the pain located. And that gives us information about where the meridian might be associated with that's connected to the muscle pain itself. In terms of trauma tends to be lodged in the hips and also in the back of the neck. So question, if you could just follow up here in our Q&A field and just let me know, well, what's the source of the pain? And in terms of dystonia, is that regular all the time? Is it episodic? If you could describe exactly what that is, it really helps to be able to understand. So if this were a medical situation and those were the two issues, well, there might be some medicines that would suppress that temporarily. And of course, just to remind you, that's not really the focus here. We're not really into figuring out what prescription medicines might suppress symptoms temporarily. The question really that I think is useful to address in the long run is to say, okay, there's muscle pain. Well, what's the source of that pain? Why are you experiencing that muscle pain? And if we can get a handle on that, then oftentimes we have a good clue as to what therapies might really provide some wonderful benefits. So kind of just waiting for Randy to provide maybe a little extra information about these two issues. And, of course, Randy, if you want, you could also just call in and raise your hand, and we can have an actual discussion as well. So in terms of pain, it is the case oftentimes that there is an emotional component to the pain. And one of the kinds of things you can do is to ask yourself what lies just underneath the pain. And there will be oftentimes be a feeling that's right, it just rests right underneath the pain. And if you can connect in with that, oftentimes you can just acknowledge that's the emotional component that's creating the pain, and you can actually release it. It really helps to be able to get some help from some practiced and certified practitioners. The website that I gave to you for addressing these kinds of issues, the BarbaraBrennan.com website a little earlier, you might find that those are some resources that can provide some really wonderful assistance and support. So, of course, when you are also asking this question, Randy, there's a lot of other information that's really helpful in being able to figure out what might be a therapy that would really help. One of that is what other medicines and supplements you're taking. So it's possible that dystonia is actually connected with the side effect of some of your medications. And if you are taking medicines, if you'll go onto the internet and just list the medication and say side effects, and then look to see what are the listed side effects of the medications, there's a possibility that the dystonia and or the muscle pain might actually be a side effect of some of the medications. So if you figure that's the case, then you can talk with your doctor about changing the medicines or maybe even reducing the dosage, just as Ivana had described a little bit earlier. In essence, it may be that the real issue is at the ATP level, at the cellular level, and it may be that your mitochondria have been compromised. That's the energy source in each of the billions of the cells. So boosting up the mitochondria can really help address the problems of dystonia as well. So giving yourself sort of an energy boost can really make a big, big difference, to be sure. And then the other questions, and again, maybe you don't want to really respond to any of these questions I'm asking, but it'll give you a guide as to how to figure out what options might be useful, will be, is the pain or is the dystonia or all both of them connected to what you are eating? It may be these are diet sorts of issues, and changing your diet can have a big impact in providing some relief for both of those challenges. For dystonia, it's possible that if you have a diet that is associated with a lot of carbs, they can create a lot of glucose in the body, which is a fuel for the body and the brain. It may be that it's associated with too much of that. And so reducing the carbs, reducing the sugars might actually provide a big, big impact on being able to provide some relief from the dystonia. So diet, in terms of treatments for dystonia, especially, and also for pain for that well, I would say, boy, diet can really provide some wonderful, wonderful relief. One of the types of recommendations that I make in the courses, and I have in many different forums, is that if you can have a natural fast, which means that at the last meal of the evening, let's say that's at 8, don't eat until the next morning for about 12 or 14 hours. That's a natural fast overnight. It's not one of these 4 or 5 days juice fasts or water fasts. It's a natural every night fast. Your body will be functioning on ketones, and that can also provide a wonderful boost to your energy levels and reduce your pain as well. So I'm not getting any follow-up, Randy, here in terms of other kinds of guidance you could give to me in order to be able to provide some guidance in response to the issues that you have. In terms of muscle pain, there is some wonderful reports I have back from people that the CBD oil can be really a wonderful treatment that can provide some relief from muscle pain. Now, that's not for everybody, but it may be an option that you might want to consider. That's a possibility. There is a treatment as well. It's electromagnetic field therapy through something called the Beamer. They have a pad that you can wrap around the source of your muscle pain and provide some treatment there. That sometimes for people who I've talked with say it can just provide some wonderful relief from the pain that you're experiencing. So when you think about muscle pain, it's typically associated with inflammation. And because I don't really know exactly where the source of your muscle pain is, if it's associated with inflammation, the next question is, what's causing the inflammation in your body? Why do you have that inflammation? And again, it may be because of something that you are eating, of all things, something that you would have never thought of. So maybe something that you've been eating for your entire life that you've enjoyed, that's comfort food, but the fact is that that's creating some inflammation in your body. And as we age, we are less able to tolerate certain kinds of foods. So it could be that you have an allergic reaction to some foods that you are eating. And you're not able to recognize that because you've eaten it your whole life. It's like, well, give me a break. I love to eat whatever it is. It gives me great joy. It's an emotionally comforting food. I don't want to give that up. But again, it's possible that that actually is the source of the pain that you are experiencing, because it's not a direct source, but it's because it can create inflammation. And because of the inflammation, that's then what creates the pain. So we have a number of different other possible remedies and treatments and therapies and actions that you can take. Sometimes the best actions are ones that, again, just changing what you are eating can sometimes make a big, big difference. And again, if you're particularly interested, instead of suppressing the pain, and that would be painkillers, and of course, those have awful side effects sometimes. And so typically you want to try to avoid that if at all possible. And in the end, if I had to guess, I would guess that some of these symptoms may actually be side effects of the medicines that you are taking without even knowing what you are taking, whether supplements or medications. So that's the kind of thing where, again, if I could just repeat myself briefly, as I was sort of waiting to see if we have any follow-up, Randy, I was going to just suggest, as I said before, go on to do a search. Put the name of a medication or a supplement you are taking, and just use also the words side effects and ask yourself, well, okay, since I'm taking this, what's the side effects? And it may be that you'll see a listing of dystonia or muscle pain as a side effect. If that's the case, again, I want to suggest talk with your doctor and see if you can make some adjustments on whatever medicines you are actually taking, because that may be the actual cause of the problem. So, Randy, let me know how else I can provide some support to you. We don't have any continuing dialogue here. So I've given you a barrel full for you to digest and to consider in terms of potential therapies that you could pursue. And if you'd like to have any follow-up discussions, please just email me and or call and let me know how is it that I might be able to provide some support. I think the bottom line and the summary that I might give, Randy, is the following. In the question that you ask, I think you were thinking there's probably no effective treatment for the symptoms that you experience. Well, I would like to say, given that I've done this now for 20 years, I find that there are dozens of natural options that really do provide wonderful, wonderful support for healing. You know, when you look at muscle pain, it could be essential oils. Something as essential as essential oils or aromatherapy could provide sustained and much welcome relief from your muscle pain. These are some therapies that have been used for centuries. It's just that we've forgotten about them. And the work that I'm doing is to identify what people did 300, 400, 500 years ago that provided wonderful relief from these two problems that you actually described. So there are many therapies. There are lots of different options out there. I think it's just a question of really understanding what's causing these two symptoms, having a good idea of that, and then once you have a good idea of that, then you really can target the therapies, the methods, the systems, the lifestyle changes that will really make a difference in resolving those two particular problems. So there are lots of answers out there. And by way of summary, I can tell you, I think the one surprising outcome of having done this now for 20 years is I have identified now so many options that have been helping people that there are almost too many for people to even consider. It's an overload of information. So that's why it really helps to be able to fine-tune the challenges that you experience. That is, where's the muscle pain? Describe more the dystonia. Is it constant? Is it come and go? Have an idea of what systems in the body are being influenced by the problem that you're experiencing. And once we have an idea of that, we can figure out what's probably causing it. And then, again, therapies, natural therapies can really make a big difference. Lots out there, many choices, many options. Some of them are very comforting and very much welcome. Let me check the chat room. I don't see anybody who's added any their two cents in the chat room. Let me check the folks who've called in. I don't see anybody who's raised their hand either. So it looks like we've pretty much exhausted the topics that we wanted to discuss. It's been about an hour here into our support group gathering. So it looks like we've covered as best we could the questions and the issues that have been raised here in our July support group gathering. So let me just say thank you so much for being here, for being a supporter of Parkinson's Recovery. I am here for you. Please email me, call me, let me know how I can provide support. That's what this is all about. The whole point of Parkinson's recovery is to support the regeneration and the recovery of more and more people who are confronting these neurological challenges. So we can make sure to finally challenge that awful, horrible, false belief that this condition is degenerative. It's not. And so it's just a question of making some changes, identifying some therapies that can really make a big difference, and then pursuing those. And if they don't work, then go to some other therapies. I've said this now, I think, 4 or 5 times, but there's so many options out there, dozens and dozens and dozens. I don't think we're not quite up to 100, but we have quite a few we've identified. Some of them are free. Some of them cost pennies. Some of them cost a little bit of money. Some of them cost a lot. But in the end, I think you'll find you'll be able to, Randy, find something that can really provide some sustained and much welcome relief from the symptoms that you currently experience. So that about does it for our July support group gathering. Please join us next month. And again, this is an ongoing support that I want to provide to each and every member of my audience. So if you have other issues, other questions, other concerns, please let me know, and I'll add that to our agenda, or I'll do meditations on that issue for your meditation page on your member support group pages, or I'll do a radio show interview. We do have an interview that's upcoming here next weekend, and it will be about a new probiotic that's been developed specifically for Parkinson's. So be sure to connect in with my interview with Martha Carlin, who's done some wonderful research on identifying a probiotic that can really provide a huge, huge ability to rejuvenate the digestive system, which we know is associated with the symptoms associated with a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And as I think each and every one of you know, that's what's happening here on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all of the children are profoundly loved and will always be profoundly loved. I'm your host, Robert Rogers, founder of Parkinson's Recovery. Thank you so much for being a member and being a supporter of all the free services that we offer to our global community. So connect in, let me know what's up. I'll be happy to help in whatever way I can. I'm here to provide support for your return to full health and wellness.